book of Genesis last number of weeks on Wednesday nights, doing a series, a study in the book of beginnings. And the series is called Reset because we believe that the Lord is wanting us to go hit the reset button, hit the factory default, you know, restore the factory default. Sometimes we get a little messed up in our mind, messed up in our walk with God. We get a little bit off track, you know, kind of like when your phone gets a little weird or your computer gets weird. I used this illustration at the very beginning a few weeks ago. I said, I don't know about you. I don't really have much tech skills, like IT skills, but I seem to be the default IT person wherever I work, because I know just about that much. Like literally yesterday at my work, the lady was like, I don't know what's going on with my computer. So I walked over there and I stood there and everything worked. And she said, thanks. And I said, yeah, you're welcome. And then I walked back and I sat down and I announced to everybody, yep, that's how I became the default IT person about everywhere I go. That's about all I know. But I do know this, hit reset. If my computer's acting funny or my phone, I just, bam, turn that thing off. Turn that puppy off and let it reset, and that does help. Well, that's what we need sometimes, don't we? Sometimes we need a Sabbath reset. Sometimes we need a spiritual reset. In fact, hey, guess what? We got a reset coming up in October, 5 through 7, don't we? Woo! What's that reset called?
Rock Conference!
Rock Conference! We're going to do our first Rock Conference. 3 days of seeking the Lord, Friday night, Saturday. It's going to be a morning and an evening session, and then Sunday morning, Rock Conference. We're going to have preaching of the word, worship. I mean, think about like just that time we just had right there and Sunday, and just pack it all into a weekend. So I'm encouraging, you know, invite people, bring people. We'll get flyers for you real soon. Roger's working on those. And we'll put it on Facebook and all that. And set some time aside. Fast some media. Fast some extracurricular activities. Maybe even fast work. Maybe, right? Say, okay, hey, I'll work this day, but I got to have this time off in the weekend or something. We're also planning kids care, more than kids care. It'll be a lot of fun games for the kids, but also some teaching. But we're working on that and bring some people in from trusted sources that can help us with the kids so that we can be here in worship and such. So I'm excited about that, and I'm excited about this series, Reset. What we're talking about has a walk with God. Genesis is the book of beginnings. Not just the beginning of creation, but the beginning of relation with God and covenant and faith and all these things. And so we're learning how to hit a reset button. We've talked about hitting that reset button on our fear of the Lord, to reset the knowledge of God. And I've said, hey, every problem we got is rooted in a lie that we believe about God. Bottom line, you got a problem? You need a revelation of God. That's number one. Not the only thing. It's just the source. It's just the root. And then we talked about our identity too. That number two is where things get jacked up both in our own lives and the way we treat others is we begin to devalue people. So we talked about the value in every human being. That was a big one. And then we've talked about coming back to the Garden of Eden, the presence of God, right? That's what we talked about, the tabernacle last week. And coming back to the tree of life, which really the tree of life is the word of God. Just gave it away right there. But if you want to hear more, we'll get it on the podcast. And it's keeping the word of God in the midst of your heart. You remember that? Wasn't that good? Those of you here, keeping the word of God, like the tree of life, in the midst of your heart. And so we've talked about those things. And of course, we could go so much more, honestly. It, just in case you were wondering, yeah, Pastor David got a lot more messages right there in just Genesis 1, 2, and 3. There's so much that we could go into, but I sense from the Lord, we're going to begin to look at Abraham. We're going to look at Abraham. We're going to look at some of these other men and women of faith and watch the transformation that God worked in their life. This message tonight is called The Transformation of Abraham. And, of course, he's called the father of our faith, and he's called the friend of God. Man, that's pretty high. And everybody points back to Abraham. Especially the Apostle Paul talks about him more than anybody else. Makes you think Paul probably thought Abraham was all that, right? The bee's knees and the cat's meow and the, no, you know what I'm saying, right? The greatest thing since sliced bread. That's what my dad used to always say. He used to say, yeah, and a bag of chips. Yeah, see, she's preaching right back at me. I like that. And of course, we're told in Hebrews chapter 6, you know, imitate those who through faith and patience or perseverance inherit the promises, and then goes on in Hebrews chapter 6 to give Abraham as the example, which of course Paul does in many other places. But the point being that anyone who, through faith and patience, has inherited the promises, who saw a breakthrough, saw an answer to prayer, saw something come through supernaturally from God, they did it through faith and patience, believing God, and then sticking with it, right? That means you believe God the same in the third quarter when you're losing as in the first quarter when you're winning. Amen. Faith and patience, you got the same faith in the hard time as the good time as the third quarter when you're losing as in the first quarter when you're winning. Get what I'm saying, right? And so that's what we need to do is look into the book of Genesis and see, how do I get back to faith then? How do I hit the reset button in my faith? And I want you to see, Abraham had some reset buttons he needed to hit too. Maybe I should have called this message the reset of Abraham. But because it's a journey, we'll call it the transformation of Abraham, that he needed some hit some reset buttons in his life too as he was on the journey of faith. And yet we look back and we see, man, this is the father of our faith. This is the pattern that I'm supposed to model my life after, one of them, yes? And man, so how do I get back to faith? How do I walk with God? Well, let's look at Abraham and see that. You ever meet somebody you want to be like? You get what I'm saying? I know sometimes in a worldly sense, we're like, oh, that guy's cool, man. He got some cool hair, or, you know, got some nice shoes. Or you meet somebody and you think, man, I want to be like that guy in terms of, you know, business or something like that. But other times you see somebody, I know for us as believers, it's more maybe you meet another Christian or you hear a preacher and you think to yourself, man, they got something. I want that. You get what I'm saying? I'm telling you, that's how I feel about Abraham. That's how I feel about some other people in the Bible. But the last couple of years, this is what the Lord does. Sometimes he just comforts me with the Bible so I know I'm not crazy. You get what I'm saying? Like, sometimes he uses the Bible for many reasons, right? The Holy Spirit will use the Bible, correct me, strengthen me, speak to me, all that. But sometimes, I read the Bible and I realize I'm not crazy. Well, even if I am, I got a company of other people who are crazy too. See, when the Lord spoke to me to come to St. Louis, man, I was just in the book of Acts. And it was like, literally, I would just weep. Like, you got to understand, like the Lord spoke to me to come to St. Louis in a dream. So I'm reading the book of Acts and I get to Acts chapter 16. And this dude shows up in Paul's dream. And I just weeping. I'm not crazy. I have a real God. What's that? That's right. And I just crying. And the Lord, of course, speaking prophetically, by the way. Acts chapter 8 spoke to me. I remember. See what I'm saying? I'm just reading through the Bible. And the Holy Spirit, you know, it's like Jesus just waiting at the street corner. You know what I'm saying? Proverbs says that, by the way, right? That he's speaking every day. Come over here. Hang out with me. And I'm speaking at the door. I'm speaking at the gate of the city. I'm reading through the book of Acts. And then he's waiting for me to get there so he can be like, bam, right? And speak to me. He wants to meet me. You get what I'm saying? One time I was scrolling through Facebook a little bit too much. I'm not against Facebook, but it can be too much, right? There's some positives and negatives. Sometimes you just got to delete that thing. I was scrolling through Facebook a little bit, probably in a time a little bit of tiredness. And it's one thing, you just check it real quick, or I post something for other people. That's one thing. I was scrolling a little bit too much. And the Holy Spirit said, you ain't going to meet me there. Okay, he used proper English, actually. I'm just trying to be all cool right now. He's like, you're not going to meet me here. Right? We got to get our face in the book, right? He's like, you're not going to meet me there. It's not necessarily it was wrong. It's just that, do you want to meet me? Or do you want to meet other people who really, that you want to be like and you're trying to compare yourself and envy and you feel bad about yourself? Or do you want to meet me and have me speak to you? See what I'm saying? So I'm in the book of Acts and he's speaking to me. Well, these last couple of years since I came to St. Louis, I 2 years really, I've been in Genesis and primarily in Abraham's life. And I've seen him. I've got to know him like I never did before, to be honest with you. And I started realizing, oh, I want to be like Abraham. I just started realizing, wow, some things about Abraham. I want to be like Abraham. He's always inspired me by his faith, but there's something about Abraham and the realness and the journey and the life and the struggles that I never really saw until I was right here in St. Louis on my own journey and my own Canaan land. Hallelujah. My own promised land. And so we're always in different seasons, and the Lord will use David, and the Lord will use Abraham, and the Lord will use Paul, and the Lord will use Peter, and the Lord will speak to you. But I'm telling you, the Lord's been speaking to me from Abraham. I want to share some things with you tonight from the life of Abraham. You notice this in Genesis chapter 11, actually, his story begins with his father named Haran. And I'm going to read from verse 31, and it says, Terah is his dad, sorry. Haran was the grandfather. Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram. Now the Lord had said to Abram. Not, and the Lord said to Abram after his dad died. Didn't say that. But what's the word, what's the tense of had? That's past tense. Like it had already happened. And it becomes very apparent that God had already spoken to Abram to leave his home country and to go to Canaan without his family. Get out of your country from your family. Get out of your country from your family. Did he do that? Not right away. Did you happen to get that picture that I sent you? It's okay if you didn't. You're probably busy. That's all right. If I were to put a picture up for you, Ur of the Chaldeans is on this side or the east of, if you had a map of the Middle East, it's like in Persia. No, what's that nowadays? Iran. Sorry. It's actually, well, it could be South Iraq, could be Iran. But it's basically old Persia, Iran. It's all the way over here. Israel's all the way on the other side, on the west side, okay? Which was Canaan, now Israel, okay? Haran is basically modern-day Syria, or the Empire of Assyria, and it's like in the middle, in the north. And you can't go through the desert this way, so everybody traveled up and came back down. You ever learn in school the Fertile Crescent? Yeah. Well, the Fertile Crescent is because it starts in Egypt, goes up through Israel and down and around the Tigris-Euphrates River on parts of Iraq and into Iran. It's called the Fertile Crescent. That whole big section, if you know your geography, Saudi Arabia, bunch of sand. And so they didn't travel straight through. They traveled north, kind of northwest, and then came down southwest, like up and then down. And Haran is in the north, right there in the middle. If I saw you a map, it's right in the middle. Middle of the journey. Halfway. You ever obey God halfway? Yes. That's exactly what he did. See, we don't realize that, do we? Man of faith, this man. Man of faith. Look at that. Halfway faith. Huh? Halfway faith. So Ur is a pagan city. In many ways, that area of the world, a lot of early civilization came out of that area of the world. Pagan. Likely his dad was a pagan worshiper. That's what tradition tells us. And here God, the creator of the universe, speaks to Abram and is trying to get him, come on, be my friend. Walk with me. I want to do something through you. And Abram goes with his dad and Lot and his family, and they travel halfway to Haran and stop and live there for a while. We don't know how long, but for a while. For a while, long enough for his dad to die. It says here that they were on their way, in verse 31, they were on their way to go to the land of Canaan. They were going there, but they stopped. They settled. They got comfortable. See, a lot of times we have a calling from God. We have something the Lord's trying to do. Abram didn't know all of it, didn't understand all of it, but God had already spoken the promise to him, had already told him, listen, get out of your country from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I want to do something in you that's bigger than anyone's seen, and I want to do something through you that's going to impact the world. And Abram's like, okay. and he goes halfway. Do you see what's going on here? See what's going on? He's not fully convinced yet. He's not fully surrendered yet. He doesn't understand. He's had an encounter with God, and he begins to move in the right direction, but he stops halfway. See? How many times do we go halfway? Sometimes we obey God, but then only halfway. Sometimes we begin to do our calling and then give up. Sometimes we begin to do our calling and then we settle in comfortability. We say, you know, I did that for a little while. I served the Lord for a little while. I did that for a little while, but I just want to be comfortable now. What is that? That's the flesh, right?
Yes, sir.
Not just flesh is not just sinful. Flesh is I don't want to risk anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to be out there on the water anymore. I don't want to be scared anymore. Man, I don't want to do that. I just want a normal life. I just want to be like everybody else. And you miss out on what God has for you. And so what's going on here is Abram is on a journey. Now, then his dad died, and then he leaves. But you see what God was calling him to do? Now, listen, to leave your country, that's stability. That is your what's normal, what's stable, right? What's familiar? Leaving your family, though, that's leaving inheritance. That is leaving financial security, as well as, obviously for many of you, family, where it's emotional security and love and acceptance and all that. No, he was kind of scared. And you even notice that when he ended up going to Canaan, he still took Lot with him. He still took his family. Lot's just hanging out with him, you know, and it ended up causing some trouble here in a bit. I remember when the Lord spoke to me to come to St. Louis. Let me tell you this one first. I remember being 17 years old, and I'm doing ministry for the Lord. I've been saved like 6 months, and the Lord began to stir something in my heart, begins to stir something of a passion to shepherd people and to lead people to Jesus, right? Something stirring in me like, you know, maybe I'm not called to be a lawyer. That's where I was headed. Maybe I'm not called to do all that. Maybe I'm called to give my life away in a different way, to go like full on. I mean, I get every believer is to be 100% for Jesus, 100% called to ministry. But in terms of our career, here I am 17, in terms of how we spend our time, in terms of the focus of our life and what we're pursuing, that can be different. Some are called to differently, right? And some are called even to what we might sometimes call full-time ministry or equipping ministry. Really, I like to call it equipping. And then the Lord made sure I knew. See, I decided to fast. I decided to fast. Because then I'd hear the Lord clearly and I'd know that it wasn't him calling me to be in the ministry, right? You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Let's just fast and make sure that God doesn't tell me what to do, right? So I decided to start fasting and such. And one afternoon after school, I'd been fasting and the Lord spoke to me. I didn't realize it was from John chapter 21 till, oh boy, like 15 years later. But he said to me, he said, shepherd my people. And I knew right then the Lord was calling me to be a pastor, right? There's apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Woo, can't forget the evangelists. And he said, I want you to shepherd my people. Oh, I knew it right then. But I was not surrendered. I was not surrendered. And I could feel it inside myself. I was resistant. I knew it. I knew I was resistant. And desire of my heart to please the Lord, yet resistant. Here as a young Christian. And this is what it felt like. It felt like me and Jesus were walking. I know that's bad English, right? But we're walking. And Jesus says, all right, I'm going to go this way. This is the way of the calling. I want you to shepherd my people. I'm going to go this way, all right? Okay, come on. And he starts walking that way, and I'm doing this. Oh, but Jesus, come on, this is a good plan, this one. I like this path. I like this one. Or maybe we could pick the third one in the middle, like a little, you know what I'm saying? And I felt myself resistant.
Yeah.
I felt myself going this direction. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why I became a pastor. Everybody always asked me, I was on an airplane. I like doing it too. I like saying, yeah, I'm a pastor, a professor, you know, all that. And I like when I was on an airplane with Michelle on the way to California this weekend, and the man said, why'd you become a pastor? Oh, I love, oh, I'm glad you asked me that question. I always love it because then I just share my testimony. Yes. Oh, because the love of God changed my life. So I tell them a little bit about my testimony. But this is the real reason I became a pastor. Here it is. This is the Christian one that I don't usually tell non-believers. Because Jesus was going that way. And I wanted to be with Jesus. That's it. To this day. That's it. Deep inside of me, I was going this way, and Jesus was going that way, and I said to myself, I want to be with Jesus. And since that day, I have told the Lord, since that day, I don't care, down at your feet or out on the streets, I just want to be where you are. That's my song. That's my anthem. I want to know him. I want to make him known. So then, I don't pursue a position. I just served the Lord. I painted walls and washed toilets and did kids' ministry and greeting and evangelism and prayer. And I became an assistant pastor and a youth pastor and did all that just to serve. And then became a senior pastor, all at the same church. And I didn't kill the pastor, all right? I didn't take him out. Wasn't no coup or nothing. No, I'm messing. I was just serving the Lord, being faithful. But he had spoken to me when I was 17, you're going to be a senior pastor. I mean, I knew, I could see to my spirit a tiny bit, where I would lead. And I had some pictures from the Lord when I was young of doing some things, even in an urban area. And I thought it would be L.A. and all this stuff, but the Lord never spoke that. I just thought that and was zealous, right? So I got excited about all that. But my wife and I never felt to leave our church that we were pastoring, and I had come to a place of being absolutely faithful, loved the church we were at, never going to leave. That's just how I am. I'm going to be faithful. But I kept saying to the people in the church, we're called to multiply. I always talk about church planting, right? And we were raising up leaders because it's all about multiplication, right? Yes, it's all about replacing ourselves and all that. So I was just being faithful, and I thought we'd multiply churches right where we were at because that's just normal Christianity. But I didn't know that the Lord was going to send me. And so one night in a dream, so some of you don't know this, so I'll explain it real quick just so you know. One night in a dream, and I love my church and I love my life, and there was, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to, I always tell people that because they think that, you know, people move around because they're dissatisfied. Right. No, I'm just fine. And the Lord spoke to me in a dream. I saw myself and my wife, my wife and I were both walking through what I believe at this point now to be the old downtown St. Louis, because there was these old buildings, brick buildings, courtyards, and I just kind of like that, this, but not this street, but just kind of like this style. Yeah. I never, you know, I didn't know. And I come up into, it's at night, and I come out into the light and grassy area. In my dream, it wasn't huge, but open area, grass, and we're standing under the St. Louis Arch. Unmistakable, obviously. And in the dream, Jesus, not the Father, not the Holy Spirit. You know, there is a difference, right? God is God, but you can see it in the Bible. Sometimes God the Father speaks, sometimes the Holy Spirit, sometimes Jesus, for different purposes. This is Jesus, the head of his church. I knew it was Jesus. I know Jesus. And he spoke to me. And he said, this is your city. Now, I don't mean like it's mine and nobody else's. You get what I'm saying? That's not what he meant. He meant like, that's where I want you. That's your Canaan land, right? This is your city. Instantly, I felt the compassion of Jesus over the city, and I began to weep. And I began to intercede. I began to declare the unfailing love of God over this city. Just like that in my dream. I woke up, and guess what I said? What was that? And I began to pray, Jesus, what are you talking about? I don't like the cold. I like In-N-Out. I'm not joking. Those were probably the first things in that order that I said. Right there early in the morning, freaking out. And even as I'm waking up and getting out of bed, I can see visions inside of my spirit. I can see it in my spirit. If you've never experienced that, you can see it. So I get out of bed and I go to the church office. I took a shower, you know, and I go to the church office early in the morning, and I begin to pray and talk to the Lord about it and wrestle with it. And then I didn't tell my wife for 2 weeks because I didn't want her to think I was crazy, because I thought I was crazy, because it didn't make any sense. And then when I did tell her, she cried because she felt it was from the Lord. And then we talked about it, and we both got really scared. Come on. Testify. We were freaked out. Then I got freaked out more. And I was like, well, don't tell anybody, and we're just going to wait on the Lord. And this is what I decided to do. We'll just wait on the Lord, and it'll just pass, right? And I couldn't shake it. You know everything within me was, Lord, I'll do it if it's you. I'll do it if it's you. I'll do it. You know the if. You know the if, right? I'll do it if it's you. I'll do it if it's you. Lord, I want to obey you. I want to follow you. Then I go to this conference, and at the conference, I hope that the Lord will speak to me and confirm it to me. And I'm, Lord, speak to me. Lord, confirm it, Lord, right? And this is what I realized as I'm worshiping the Lord in this conference. I think the Lord said this, but it could have just been an insight from me. Or like a light from the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? Could have been the Holy Spirit giving me an insight. Could have been the Lord speaking. But this is kind of what it was. I'm not going to speak to you. And I realized I wanted to control God. I realized that hearing God is a gift from the Lord, right? Being led by the Spirit is absolutely our inheritance as children. But don't try to use spiritual things and try to hear God to try to manipulate and control God. Who's the boss? Amen. Jesus is Lord. Amen? Those in level two. Jesus is Lord. And he's our master. And whatever he wants to do, that's what he gets to do. So then, another month goes by. And I'm saying the same thing to God. But it's starting to stir up within me like, you know, if this is the Lord, I don't want to live with regret. So I begin to ask the Lord, Lord, give me your heart for the city. I begin to pray and intercede for the city. But I didn't know anything about the city. And that's when the Lord began to speak to me like I told you at a couple months ago. The Lord spoke to me and said, you will turn whole destinies around. Yes. That happened in that time. Yes, I get to Rock Conference years before. I mean, now this is like, I don't know, 2014 or whatever, right? It's longer than I realized. But this is now I'm at Rock Conference, and I'm speaking at Rock Conference. I'm going to preach at Rock Conference like I did this last weekend. But I haven't preached yet. And I just met with Pastor Jerry, and he laughed at me. Pastor Jerry's our senior pastor over all the Rock. He just laughed at me when I told him the dream. He went like this. He laughed, right? Like how Pastor Jerry laughs. And I was like, my pastor just laughed at me. He just laughed at me. But he asked me a question. And it was already kind of stirring in me, to be honest, just to be real genuine with you. But he asked me a question that was so pointed. Obviously, like, nobody can do like Pastor Jerry, right? He said, I'm not putting any pressure on you, but if you were to, like, say right now what the Lord, if it was the Lord or not, like, if you were just to say, yeah, I think it's the Lord or it's not, he said it better than that. What would you say? And I looked at him, I said, if I was just being real genuine and honest, and this is what I was already telling God, I heard God. If I've ever heard the Lord, I heard the Lord. It just didn't make sense in my rational mind. And I loved that church. I didn't want to leave that church and all that. Church was growing, moving forward, all good stuff. So that didn't make sense to me in my natural mind. But Jesus is the head of his church. Then I'm at Rock Conference and Chad Budlong's preaching and he preaches a prophetic message. And of course it hits many people. And I just wept. And the Lord said, are you ready to surrender? So that whole process took probably about 3 months, 2 to 3 months. Fear will keep you from really hearing the Lord. People say, I don't hear God. Maybe you do. But maybe you just don't want to admit it. Maybe fear got mixed in. You can't walk in the Spirit and walk in fear. We're not being given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. You want a sound mind? You need to reject the fear and walk in the Spirit and walk in love. If you don't walk in love towards God, but also towards people, you won't have a clear mind. You'll be confused. I'm not sure what to do. See, here's what's going on. We can learn from Abraham a couple of things. He's not perfect. Boy, shoot, I didn't even get very far tonight. I'm going to say a few more things before we're done. But listen, what we learn from Abraham is he wasn't perfect. And he didn't start off as a man of faith. But notice what he did do. Like Hebrews says, by faith, he obeyed God. He did, after a season of hesitation, delay, after that season, he came to a point where he realized, I'm not satisfied. He's rich. He's a businessman. He's successful. But he realized, I'm not satisfied. I'm not supposed to be in Haran. I'm not supposed to be in Ur. God called me to go to Canaan. I'm not walking with God like I'm supposed to be. I've given in to fear. I don't like this. And that's what my wife and I decided. We don't want to live with regret. We want to serve the Lord and do everything we can to lay our lives down. And so Abraham, according to Hebrews 11, by faith obeyed God. Do you see that? Yes. Now, what's interesting is, do you ever see anyone in the New Testament talk about his hesitation? No, because that's not the testimony. I'm not justifying compromise in any way. I'm not trying to say fear is okay in any way. But I want you to understand that the testimony of your life when you obey God will not be about your fear. Come on, you hear what I'm saying? If you stay there in the fear and you continue to compromise, well then, yeah, then you're just some dude who lived in Haran named Abram and nobody ever heard about you. But if you want to give glory to God and you want to stand before God and hear, well done, good and faithful servant, and you want to bring glory to him, then you leave everything behind and obey God, and his mercy and his grace will cover all those mistakes and those compromises and that period of fear as you break it off. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Lord can restore what the enemy has stolen, and the Lord can redeem. The Lord can take Peter from denying him and make him the leader of a movement. The Lord can take Paul, who was zealous in a bad way. Oh, he was passionate, but for the wrong thing. And then turn it around and make him a zealous believer for Jesus, preaching the gospel, unafraid, willing to be persecuted for Jesus. You get what I'm saying? And he can take a pagan worshiping, idol worshiping man named Abram and reveal himself to Abram and then deliver him from hesitation and fear and compromise and make him into a man of faith that is the father of our faith and the pattern for, by which we're supposed to follow after. Yep. And this isn't even the end of his story. I just started getting going here. You already know Abraham's life. Consider that. Mm-hmm. How many times he compromised or hesitated. I might touch on it more next week, but I just want you to see something real quick. So right when he gets to Canaan, God speaks to him, and then there's a famine, and he goes down to Egypt, and what does he do? Same. Fear leads him to do something that's unsafe for his wife, right? Hey, just tell me you're my sister. And puts her in a compromising situation, so he's not protecting his wife, and compromises. See what I'm saying? You're in a famine. You're afraid of people. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to get hurt. They're going to reject me. And once again, we compromise out of fear. Do you see what he did? He did it again. Cool. Man of faith has an encounter with God. Genesis 15. I mean, it's like the encounter with God. The covenant. Blood covenant. God walks through animals. Seals the promise with a blood covenant. And he believes him. Do you remember that? It says in Genesis 15, and his faith was credited to him as righteousness. I mean, this is the verse. This is the blood covenant. This is the experience. Man of faith counted as righteous before God. Friend of God. God's like, that's my man right there. That's my boy. Yeah. And you know what happens? The very next chapter, like literally, it's disgusting. His wife says, hey, I get it. God has told you that you're going to become this heir of all these people. But I'm not having children. It's not happening. So listen, you should just have a child with my servant Hagar. She comes up with this elaborate scheme. Now, we're going to talk about Sarah another time because the transformation of Sarah is powerful. But she comes up with this elaborate scheme. Why? Reasoning, natural reasoning. But I just want you to notice something. Faith. Encounter with God. Covenant with God. A couple days later, it wasn't that long. I wouldn't say days, could have been months, could have been a year. Not probably even a year. He's having a child with Hagar. He reasoned in his mind, oh yeah, that makes sense. Because that's what they did culturally. You got a maidservant, you have a child, and it's counted as Sarah's child. That's what they did culturally. That's what they did, but that's not what God wanted to do. God didn't want a child that Abraham could produce in the flesh. He wanted to do something supernatural through Sarah and Abraham that only he could do to heal her and to deliver her and bring glory to God and all of that, right? So what does he do? So what's the one thing that Paul always dings Abraham about in the New Testament? You know, because you know that your Bible, Hagar. And he calls it the flesh. That's him trying to produce the promise of God in his own human effort. But what's going on? He listened to his wife. That wasn't the problem, because sometimes our wives can be right. You see that in the Bible too. It's that he listened to that natural reasoning coming from her mouth. And once again, fear and compromise and the flesh and saying, oh yeah, well that makes sense. And I don't think you realize that he thought for like 13 years, some 10 or 12, 13 years, that Ishmael was the one. Now that's crazy. Not until Genesis 17, years later, and it even says in Genesis 17 that Ishmael wasn't a little bit older and got circumcised as well. Not until Genesis 17 that the issue of circumcision comes up. And I wonder why. Circumcision. Cutting away of the flesh. Come on. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on over here. And God says, okay, we're going to make this covenant of circumcision. And I want to do something in you to cut away some compromise and this fleshly stuff. And he says to him, listen, Sarah is going to have a child. I mean, I'm telling you, and not until Genesis 17 did he really understand what was going on here. And he, listen, in Genesis 17 even says it. He says to God, I mean, listen to him. He laughs in verse 17. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 99 years old, bear a child? And listen to what he says in verse 18. Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Oh, I'm telling you, I don't think it was just a faith issue. I'm talking, he loves his son. That's my boy. Wait, that's my boy. Oh, can't Ishmael live before you? Now, God blesses Ishmael. We'll get into all that. But listen, he's like, oh, come on. Come on, can he be the covenant child? Can it come through him? And God says, no. No. No, see, why? What did he do? He did something. When you walk by faith, you walk by the voice of the Lord. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of the God. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and he shall direct your paths, right? Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eat from the tree of life. Don't walk in the flesh. You walk in the spirit. Right? Not in the natural reasoning, but by the Spirit. And what did he do? He reasoned. He never asked God. And now until Ishmael's older, does God says, no, you missed it. You didn't ask me. The child will come through Sarah. But see, you didn't believe me for that back then. You didn't have revelation and understanding. See, we like to fill in the gaps. God will give you a vague picture of what's the future, and then we do it, all this stuff in between, and fill it in. And we could try to, why? We want to control. We want to make it happen. I remember when the Lord called me to Life Pacific College. So now the Lord told me to be a pastor. I got that part down. And he said, I'm going this direction. But now I could go to any college, right? Mm-hmm. And my parents did not want me going to Life Pacific College. What happened was the Holy Spirit led me to this college called Life Pacific College that I didn't even know about. Right. Began to look into it. And I felt it might be the Lord. Then we go visit it, and it's this tiny, even me, we pulled up, and I, in my head, didn't tell my mom, in my head, this is it. But we go into the chapel, and it was a powerful time in the chapel and such, and it felt it was from the Lord. But my mom and my parents were saying, you can't go there. And it was not accredited at the time. I did all this research to find out that if I go there, I can still transfer credits to Azusa because of the transfer program and that they're working on accreditation. I mean, seriously, I'm 17 and I'm figuring all this stuff out to try to appease my parents. And I do, I shouldn't say appease, because I respected and trusted my parents as well. And I did believe in what they were saying. So I was not in rebellion, but I'm having this tension between my parents and then the Lord. And then one day, the Lord, probably the most audible I've ever heard God. Maybe like two or three times. I wouldn't say it's actually audible, but where it's so loud in the spirit that I felt like, oh my goodness. Like, whoa. And this is what happened. I said, God, you want me to go to Life or APU? Azusa Pacific was the other one, which I ended up getting my master's degree from, by the leading of the Lord. But he said, I said to the Lord, you want me to go to Life or APU? Just tell me. And I'm not joking. The Lord's all, I went, it was Life Bible College. Life Bible College. And I said, Lord, just tell me. And I'm not messing the Lord two times. Life Bible College. And I fell on my knees before God. And I cried out to the Lord. And I said, I'll do whatever you want. That was the most clear he's ever made it. And then I still wrestled with him on the why, but I was surrendered. My parents didn't like it. But I'll tell you what I ended up doing. I'll try to wrap this up real quick. Here's what I ended up doing. My parents said they're not going to, they weren't supportive of it. So what am I going to do? So I saved all this money, and I paid for my first semester. That was my plan. I'm going to pay for the first semester. Then I'm going to get down there in August, and I'm going to find a job. I'm going to work 20, 30 hours, and I'm going to go to college. And I'm going to, and my first semester, I took like 16 units. And I, but, you know, maybe if I have to do 12, but I'm going to work hard, I'm going to work hard. See, that's never been my problem. Not for the most part of my life. I work hard, I'm going to make it happen. Okay? I'm going to lay it down. The Lord told me to go, I'm going to make it happen. The Lord told me to go to Bible college, I'm going to make it happen. But I didn't understand covenant with God. I didn't understand that it's not just the what, but it's the how. See, Abraham heard the what, but he didn't hear the how. Do you get what I'm saying? He heard the God's going to give me a child, but he never heard the how. So he thought, I have to make the how happen. I got to make it happen. See what I'm saying? So then I get down there and I start looking for a job. I never had a problem looking for a job. In fact, they just offered me a job over in the city I was living in for a bank job. And I was like, man, I got a bank job. I'll go get a bank job, right? So I go over to San Dimas, and no bank job. Oh, and I don't have a car neither, right? Because my parents kept the car. So I got no car, I got no money, but I paid for my first semester. And I cannot get a job. I cannot find a job. No joke. Oh, I forgot to tell you this other thing. The Lord put on my heart to start a tutoring program. And I didn't do it. So now we're about a month into school, and I am like burning out. And the Lord had been telling me, I want you to rest. I want you to rest. And I get up into the hills, and I'm mad at God. Because I used to get mad at God because that's how I was. Now I don't get mad at God because he's just always right. All right. And he's good. And I'm yelling at God, God, what's going on? Tell me to go to Bible college, not give me a job or nothing like that. What's going on here? Man, come on, right? And he said, I never told you to get a job. You think I would get it, right? What? How am I supposed to do this if I don't get a job? And he said, I told you to start a tutoring program. What? That's not going to pay the bills. And he said, and I told you to rest. What? How do I do that? He saw, when you come and spend time with me, just lay down. So for like a long time, I just, like, now I would walk and pray in the morning, and then, but at night, I would just lay there before the Lord, and I would just pray and sing to the Lord. He was teaching me, that's not the only posture to pray, right? He was just teaching me, man, boy, child, lay down. Lay down. So that's what I began to do. I went and started a tutoring program. I helped to start it, actually. I got it ball rolling, and then the school started, and that actually became an outreach of the school for a couple of years, and I was a tutor. I got to share the Lord with people and help kids to know Jesus and such. That was exciting. So that's what the Lord did. The next semester, my parents started paying for my college and gave me the car. Come on. So, when we walk in the flesh, we're trying to make the promise of God happen in our own flesh, right? But then, I just want to end with this. Like I said, we might go into some more Abraham later, but I just want you to catch this in Genesis 22. This is after he's had Isaac, supernaturally. After he's walked with God. And listen to what this says. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And this is the powerful one. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning. Transformation of Abraham. Did he hesitate? Did he delay? Did he go halfway? Did he fear? Did he have natural reasoning? No, Hebrews 11 says that he reasoned in his mind that if God gave me this child and God said this is going to be the son of promise, he actually reasoned in his mind, I guess God will just have to raise him from the dead. Do you see the shift? From I have to make it happen to it's impossible for me to do anything here. This is complete surrender. Lay it down. God will have to do a supernatural miracle. Do you see the transformation of Abraham? Just right here. Yes. Look at that. Now, I just went real fast through all that. But I just want you to realize, Abraham did not start that way, but he ended that way. I never thought maybe that's why the test came. Now, I know that this is a prophetic picture of Jesus. I know that the test is the obedience of faith and all that kind of stuff. But do you get it? Do you get it? Look at his life all the way through. Look at what he struggled with. Look at the Ishmael thing. And now we get to Isaac, and this is the son of promise, supernaturally born. And this is God who gave the child. And we know that God does not do human sacrifice. But he didn't know that. Remember, he worshiped pagan gods. Do you remember that? So he didn't know that. Now we know, and God made it clear to Abraham too, but in his heart of heart, he understands, you are God, I am not, we're in covenant, you gave me the son, he's yours, I'm yours. And God was trying to do something that's going to speak to us later, but listen, I think just very personally, let's forget about the prophetic to Jesus and all that stuff, and just look at the life of Abraham. Here's just a man who's a businessman, who had servants, who was rich, who walked with God, who's older now, he's wrestled with these things, he's made mistakes, he's grown in faith, right? It says that he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So he just kept getting stronger and stronger in his faith. He at some point in his life resolved, I'm going to determine that God can do this supernaturally through my wife and I. Romans 4 says that. And that by faith he obeyed God when he left Canaan. But he struggled with it. And by faith they had Isaac. But he struggled to get there. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But do you see what just happened? So God decided to test Abraham and said, now I want you to go offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And he doesn't hesitate. He doesn't struggle. He doesn't fear. He doesn't compromise. He obeyed God instantly. Early in the morning. What? And when they ask him what he's going to do, he says, my son and I, we'll come back. We're just going to go worship and we'll come back. He spoke faith. He said, we're going to go worship and come back. Because he reasoned in his mind and then spoke it with his mouth. Reasoned in his mind and spoke it with his mouth. God will raise him from the dead. But he was determined in his heart. There is no half obedience here. He was going all the way. He had that knife in his hand coming down on his son. And God said, you stop, Abraham. Abraham, stop it. Now I know. What did God say? Now I know that you fear God. See, now I know that you fear God. Powerful, isn't it? The transformation of Abraham. What am I trying to say about your life? What I'm saying is a couple of things. Number one is just because you struggle does not mean you are not a woman or a man of faith. I'm not justifying it because it brings brokenness. Okay? That's not what I'm doing right now. But we're great. Where sin abounds, grace all the more. And what I'm saying is, you'll go from glory to glory. But what did Abraham do? He walked with God and he did it. He didn't stay in Haran. He didn't stay stuck with the Hagar situation. He allowed the Lord to speak to him, correct him, adjust him. He repented, he changed, he moved on, and he grew as a man of faith so that we can say he did not waver in unbelief, right? But was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.